The Bible said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." This morning we looked at that verse and said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We looked at that word "filled" in it. There's a time when God is going to pass by and He's going to fill us. Luke chapter 1 verse 56, I believe it is, said, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." So as God passes by, He fills us. It's like when He passes, He touches us, anoints us, fills us. But tonight, as I looked at that verse in my room upstairs, I looked at that word "blessed." Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That word "blessed" very simply means happy. Happy are they. Do you know it's not only a spiritual blessing involved in coming into the presence of the Lord, but when you come through the blessing of God, it causes you to have a joy in your life, a joy that cannot be manufactured by this flesh. You get happier than if somebody hits a home run. You get happier than if somebody shoots a three-point shot with 3 seconds left in the game. You get happier than if you're an Alabama fan and Alabama goes to Georgia and slaps Georgia around in their own yard. You get happier. So the other side of that is that we have a lot of people in our churches that are just moping around. Been moping for some of them 30 or 40 years. And God said you can be happy. You can have a joy about you if you come through the blessing of God. Happy. And so tonight I want to encourage you to be aware. Maybe it'll be while Brother Kenan's preaching that God will pass by. When He does, then you allow Him to bless you. And when He blesses you, you'll come out of that experience and be happy. Have a joy about you that cannot be manufactured by this flesh. So blessed, the word "blessed." If you have your Bible, look with me to Luke chapter 19 tonight. Luke chapter number 19, and I want to begin reading with verse number 29 and read down through verse number 40. There's a few verses here, but I want to read them because of the story that is in the Scriptures that I want you to see the story tonight. So we have to read a few verses. Luke chapter 19, verse number 29. Would you stand with me, please, while I read from the Scriptures tonight? Luke chapter 19, look in your Bible at verse number 29. "And it came to pass, when He was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." Can I just say while we're passing by that this is a wild colt. Never a man sat upon it. If you've ever raised horses or been around anyone that raises horses, you know that a wild colt it's totally impossible to sit upon him. He first has to be broke and prepared for a good ride. And Jesus said, loose him and bring him to me and I'll ride him. It's a miracle within itself in verse number 30. In verse 31 he said, and if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the desert of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Or in other words, they were having a spell. Amen. They were rejoicing as he rides this wild colt into Jerusalem. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Father, again tonight, we thank you for our Bible. We thank you for the privilege to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for gathering your children this way tonight. As we've come, we ask, Lord, tonight for a special blessing to be upon our gathering. Lord, if you don't bless it, then it'll just be a gathering. But if you add your blessings to our time together, it can be a church service. It can be a worship service. It can be a revival experience, a camp meeting, Lord, that we have set out in order to find this week. We ask you, Lord, to bless each one of your children. I realize tonight that our needs are all different. Some may be sick. Some may be tired. I know one of the men spoke to me this morning, Lord, and said he worked third shift and hadn't even been to bed when he come to the house of God this morning. Lord, so our needs are different. And I pray that you would bless us and meet our needs according to your blessed will. Bless the Word of God. May it go out and accomplish that you sent it for tonight. Draw your people, draw backsliders, save lost sinners, Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. These scriptures that I've read to you tonight, we now know them as the triumphal entry. We know them as bringing to pass the prophecy of the Old Testament that the Messiah would be brought into Jerusalem upon the back of a colt and brought in before the people, and they would rejoice and praise his coming. As he comes into the city, I want you to see, they take the garments and lay them upon the back of the colt, and Jesus sits upon this colt and begins to ride into the city. They're breaking olive branches. They're taking their garments and casting them down that the little colt may ride upon them as he comes in. And the Bible said, look at it with me one more time. I want you to see it with me in your Bible. Verse 37. The Bible said, when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they began to yell. They began to scream out. Or they begin to shout, as we would know it now, with a loud voice, admonishing all the good works that the Lord had done. All that He had healed, all the dead that He had raised from the dead, all the demonic spirits that He had cast out, all the good works that God had done while He was upon this earth in His earthly ministry. They begin to admonish those good works. They begin to praise God with a loud voice. I guess you could just say they were having church the way church ought to be had. They were enjoying themselves. There was no doubt that when it was all over, they had experienced something that was holy. And something that was spiritual. Tonight we have these opportunities. We don't see our Lord riding upon this colt tonight. But yet we still have opportunities to have this type of a worship service. We have the opportunity to admonish what God has done in our lives. Do you know there's times when the preacher says, let's have some testimonies. And I've seen preachers say, come on now, somebody testify. Why, the truth is we ought to be running over one another to get up and give our testimonies with a loud voice, just like they did, and admonish the good works that God has done in our lives. And that's what they did. We can do the same thing tonight. This can be more than just a gathering. This can be more than just passing an afternoon together in one another's presence. God can bless us. And so I want to encourage you tonight. You know, it seems like every time you get in a service like that, every time the Holy Ghost begins to move and people begin to testify and to admonish the good works of God, it seems to me like there's always someone that's standing in the shadow criticizing that which is taking place. Amen. And this story tonight is no different. For the Bible said the Pharisees were standing by. And they said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, tell them to hold their peace. Tell them that you're not the Messiah. Tell them not to act that way. Tell them not to talk like that. Tell them to hold their peace. And Jesus made a statement to those Pharisees, and He said that if these hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out unto Me. The rocks would praise Him. The rocks would admonish Him. Jesus said the rocks would glorify His presence. Now there's been miracles all through the Bible where rocks have been used by God. Do you remember when Moses got discouraged from leading the nation of Israel? He got out in the wilderness and he went to God and he said, Lord, they're a stiff-necked people. And I just can't lead them any further. I've got to see you. I just want to see you. And God said, no man can look upon my face. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in the cleft of a rock. And I'll cause myself to pass by. And when I do, you can lift yourself up and see my backside. And God caused Moses to hover down in the cleft of that rock. God caused his big old hand to cover him over and pass by and removed his hand. Moses looked up and seen the backside of God. The Bible said that when Moses came down, there was a glory that shone from the face of Moses that he had seen the very presence of God. I say to you tonight, there's times in the Bible when rocks have been used by God. There was a time when Moses came and he said, Lord, the people want a drink and they have no water. God said, Moses, take your rod and smite the rock and water will come forth. And Moses did that. And immediately the Bible said fresh drinking water came from that rock. But he said here in this story that the rocks have one more talent. The rocks have one more ability. He said the rock can cry out praises unto me. The rock can. He said that rock has the ability to lift up a voice and cry out unto God. If the people hold their peace, then those rocks will cry out. If God would help me for a little while tonight, I want to preach on this subject. We must be doing something right. The rocks are quiet. Amen? The rocks are quiet. I just want to say tonight to the little rock that if we're not doing this right, and if we're holding our peace, and we're not obeying what God wants us to do, then just help yourself, little rock. Just cry out. I'll sit down. I will take a rest. I will take an ease of Zion. And I will allow the rocks to cry out. I pause for just a minute. And I realize what you do as you listen. The rocks are quiet. So I say to you, we must be doing something right. Amen. We're living in the midst of criticism. We're living in the midst of people putting us down and saying that we're religious fanatics and we're not doing right. Well, I want to say too, there's more than just Kim Davis upon the face of this earth tonight. There's more of them out there sitting in our Baptist churches tonight that love God with all their heart. They must be doing something right, or those rocks would immediately cry out praises unto God in this service. I want to say to you, first of all, there's nothing wrong with our praising, or those rocks would do it for us. That's what he said, ain't it? They would cry out praises unto God. Brother Jay, there's nothing wrong with the way we're praising God. If it was wrong, then the rocks would immediately take over and cause a silence to come to you and I. But since the rocks are quiet, I want to say tonight we must be doing something right. Thank God for that moment of silence found in the stone. There's nothing wrong with our praising God. Do you know, as I go around sometimes in some churches, though, I see them praising God on a weekly basis. And as I go into the churches and I preach my heart out, they're praising God, and here's what they're doing. Say, what are you doing, Brother Hatfield? I'm doing what they're doing. Amen. You say, well, why don't you get up and do something? I've been wondering that about you. Amen. That's right. I mean, hey, he said we ought to praise God. We ought to be loud, it said. Not quiet, but loud. How long has it been since you lifted up your voice in the house of God? Amen. There's nothing wrong with praising God with a loud voice. And people want to say, well, they're just one of those churches that just praises God and shows themselves and criticizes what we're doing. I want to say to you tonight, if it was wrong, then the rocks would immediately begin to teach us how to do it right. I know, because God said it in His Bible. We must be doing something right, church. The rocks are quiet. I will say to you, there's nothing wrong with our praising God. I want to say to you, secondly, there's nothing wrong with our preaching. Amen. The rocks are quiet. Not only with our praising God, and you ask me, and some people want to know the truth today. So, Brother Hatfield, you believe in old time shouting? I believe in lifting up my voice. Amen. I believe that when the redeemed of the Lord are blessed by God, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. Amen. They ought to say so. Do you know how they do that? They say so. That's their way of doing it. But that's not the right way. Amen. We ought to lift up our voice and praise Him. But I say to you tonight, there's nothing wrong with our preaching. If my preaching is not right, then little rock, help yourself. Get up and preach the gospel tonight. I pause for a moment, and I see the stone is quiet, and I wipe my brow and I say, thank God there's nothing wrong with the way I'm preaching tonight. Or that little rock would jump up and do it for me. Amen. I love preaching. I love tall preaching. I love short preaching. I like loud preaching. I like quiet preaching. I like preachers that hold on to the pulpit. I like preachers that run around. I like preachers that shout, and I even like them that run pews. Amen. I just like preaching. I tell you, Hal Sattler, I believe it was, that said when a man gets up to preach, he ought to just get up and act like he's fighting bees. Amen. Just do something, glory to God. But there ought to be a little bit of life in preaching. There ought to be some joy in preaching. There ought to be a challenge in preaching. I believe we must be doing all right, for the rocks are quiet. I say to you, there's nothing wrong with our praising of God. There's nothing wrong with our preaching. But I'm concerned tonight about our praying. I wonder if we're doing it right. So again, I want to pause and I want to look at my little rock and I want to say, little rock, if I'm not praying right, then I wish that you would lift up a voice and begin to pray, and I will cease and allow you to pray a prayer. And in my moment of pausing, I see the rock is quiet again. I wipe my brow and I say, thank God, thank God. We must be doing something right. There's nothing wrong with our praying. Nothing wrong with our praising God. As a matter of fact, do you know when that lame man in the book of Acts was sitting there begging alms, The Bible said Peter and John passed by going to Sabbath school. And as they passed by, he begged alms, alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." The Bible said strength came to his legs. And he rose up. You know where the first place he went? You know where he went? He went to the house of God. He walked into the house of God with Peter and John. The Bible said he began to leap and to praise God and to rejoice that strength had come to his legs. And all men in the house of God, the Bible said, begin to marvel at what great things these two men had done. He praised God. And I say there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with our preaching. My grandfather was an old-time Southern Baptist preacher. He had the fattest jaws you ever seen. They just hang down. My grandfather'd preach and them jaws would bounce up and down. I remember as a young preacher, I prayed a prayer and said, "God, let me have fat jaws one day. I want to preach like Pap preaches." Hallelujah to God. And he'd get up and preach. He couldn't read, could not write. I seen my grandmother find the scripture for him that he wanted to preach on. And she would read the verse over and over and over till my grandfather had it memorized. And Sunday morning he'd get up and quote it. And 5 minutes into his sermon, you'd have thought that old man had a PhD. For all those verses he had memorized, he began to quote. He began to expound upon them, began to preach the Word of God, and the power of God would fall, and the altar would fill with people coming to Christ. I say there's nothing wrong with our preaching in our fundamental Baptist churches tonight. Nothing wrong with our preaching. Nothing wrong with our praying in our independent Baptist churches tonight. You say, "Brother Hatfield, is that the only church doing it right?" No, we're not that naive. I've been in some good, and you can throw me out if you want to, but I've been in some good Southern Baptist churches. They haven't all bowed a knee to Baal, amen. They haven't all. But I am what I am too. I'm a fundamentalist, and I have been ever since I've been saved, and I've just decided I'm going to stay with it. Amen. That's what I am, so that's who I preach to. That's who I encourage. And I want to say tonight that you must be doing something right in your prayer life. For if you want to, you can go out and get you a stone and put it in your house and use it as a rock altar. And say to the little stone that if I'm not praying right, then little stone, you cry out my prayer unto God. And look down, and if that stone is quiet, then you must be doing something right. For the stones are quiet. I had a young man in my church named Eddie Smith. Brother Eddie was a country boy. And I mean, I'm country. But Eddie was country to me. He called everybody son. "How you doing, son?" I wanted him to call me preacher, but he always, "How you doing, son? Son, everything going good for you?" He called everybody son. He come by my house one day. I led Eddie to the Lord. He came by my house one day. And some reason, I don't know, I don't remember why, but we made it back into my bedroom and my altar was at the foot of my bed where my family prays. And he looked at it and he said, "Son, what's that?" I said, "That's an altar." He said, "But what's it doing in your house?" I said, "It's called a family altar." Now I have a rock altar instead of a constructed altar like I had then, but I have a rock altar now that I pray over. But I believe just as long as you got a place where you meet with God. Charles Stanley says he has a room in his house that has no window. He closes the door. There's complete darkness on the inside. He pulls himself in, and that's where he prays. Wherever you pray, then just pray. Amen. Lift up your voice to the Lord. And Eddie said, "Son, can I have one of them?" I said, "Why, sure you can." I said, "Look at mine, go measure your bed, build it, slide it right into the foot of your bed." And I said, "You can have a family altar." He came to church one day and he said, "Son, I got my altar built." I said, "You did?" He said, "I've been getting on that altar." I said, "What's been happening?" He said, "He's been talking to me." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No." I said, "What's he been saying?" He said, "Son, I believe he wants me to be one of them preachers like you are." Amen. Eddie was so bashful that when he talked to you, he would not look in the eyes. He would just say, "Hello, how are you?" And he would keep his head bowed. Finally, I told him one time, I said, "Brother Eddie, I want you to preach your first sermon here at the church." He said, "Son, I don't believe I can do it." I said, "Okay." And we did things different when I pastored, but on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, we had testimony service. And I let my people be a part of the service. So I encourage them to do that. So I said to Eddie, I said, "You take charge of the testimony service then. That'll help you get used to being in the pulpit and being in front of people." He said, "Okay, I believe I can do that." I never forget, Eddie got up and said, "Anybody want to testify?" And then my people began to stand and began to tell how proud of Eddie they were and how glad they was that God had saved him and called him to preach. And he was up there in front of us taking charge of testimony service. And I noticed over time that Eddie began to raise that head just a little bit and look around, and he'd drop it again. One Wednesday night, Brother Lawrence, we come to church, and I said, "All right, Brother Eddie, if you'll come now, we'll have our testimony service." And Eddie stood back in the pew and he said, "Son, if it'll be all right with you, I believe I'll just preach tonight." Hallelujah to God. Eddie got up there and fought bees. Amen. I never will forget. He said, he opened his Bible and he said, "Now I won't do this like Brother Hatfield does, for this is my first time." But he said, he did this. He said, "But you let me tell you what God showed me at work the other day." He began to point that little finger and began to preach. Amen. I say to you tonight, there's nothing wrong with our preaching, or the rocks would cry out and begin to preach in our place. We must be doing something right, Brother Tom. The rocks are quiet. I say to you tonight, there's nothing wrong with the people of God. Nothing wrong with the people of God. Who do you want to hang around? Who do you want to spend your time with? I want to find people that love God to spend my time with. Amen. I'm not interested in somebody trying to get my wife or somebody's wife trying to get me. I'm not interested in those kind of things. I want to be around God's people that can get together and have a good time without having to be worldly and act like the world acts when they get together. I love God's people. And I wonder if God's people are doing the right thing. So I pause just a moment and I let the rock. I say to the rock that if we're not right, we're not doing and living our lives the way God wants us to live our lives, then go ahead, little rock, and cry out and rebuke us tonight. I Paul's just a moment, and I rejoice in my heart, for I see the rocks are quiet. So we must be doing something right. Nothing wrong with the people of God. Nothing wrong with the power of God. God's power should be sought after. That's why I read Matthew 5 and 6 to you tonight. There should be an appetite and a hunger and a thirst for the power of God to rest upon our lives. I wonder if I have God's power on me. Sometimes, Brother Lawrence, I question myself. I sat over there tonight when time was getting close and close, and I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I can't do what You've asked me to do tonight. I've got to have Your help. I've got to have Your power. I need Your anointing. I still believe that. Amen. There's nothing wrong with the power of God upon God's people. If there was, the rocks would cry out. That's what Jesus said, and Jesus is no liar. Jesus said that rock has the ability to cry out. Amen. The rocks are quiet. Nothing wrong with the place where we meet. Nothing wrong with the way our church houses are laid out. Nothing wrong with the way we have an altar in our church. We have pews to sit on. We have a wooden pulpit to preach from. I say to the stones, if we haven't built it right, and if it's not the way You want it, then cry out and tell us what to do. The rocks are quiet, so there's nothing wrong with the place where we worship. Then I want to close tonight with this and say, there's nothing wrong with His promise. Nothing wrong with His promise. For He said, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you will be, and with Me also. Amen. I wonder if that includes me. I wonder if His promise is to me, or was it just to that group of people He was speaking to? So I'm going to pause a few minutes. And I'm going to say to the stones that if I'm not included in His promise, then cry out and tell us that we're not. And again, the rocks are quiet. So I say to you, there's nothing wrong with His promise. He's coming again. Amen. He's going to receive us up to where He is, there we may be also. And I like this part, and so shall ye ever be with the Lord. Forever and ever and ever and ever. With no end, we're going to be with the Lord. No sickness, no separating, no times of death, no pain, no crying. None of those things we have to go through down here. All gone and over with. Does that include us? Are we involved in that promise? The rocks are quiet. So we must be doing something right. Tonight I say to you, we must be doing something right, for the rocks are quiet. Let's stand and bow for prayer.